Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from Pastor Mike Gowans.
Our Christmas series begins today, and oh, do I have a story to tell? Do I have a story to tell? So, over a month ago, my dad called and we talked about hosting at our house Thanksgiving dinner, and he then said, "Go get the biggest turkey." And get one of those organic ones, right? The one you get from Whole Foods. You know what Whole Foods, you know, it stands for. It's your whole paycheck. And this turkey was the most expensive turkey. You thought we'd be having prime rib for Thanksgiving, but it was turkey. And I mean, so my dad, like almost every other day, would call me, "Did you get that turkey yet?" Like, it's like 30 days out. I'm like, "Dad, yeah, get that. There's going to be a shortage of turkeys," right? Like, and so, I mean, every other, "Dad, I'm going to get the turkey. I'm going to get the turkey." And so I'm like, "Babe, order the turkey so I can tell him." So we got the turkey ordered, and it showed up, and we defrosted it in the refrigerator just like you're supposed to. And so I was given the responsibility for preparing the turkey in our smoker, because 2 or 3 years ago, I had the privilege to smoke my first turkey, and it turned out amazing. It really did. And so I was excited. I can do this again. And so made preparations. I even during the week pulled the turkey out, massaged it, you know, and, you know, just put it back in, and, you know, and so we, you know, getting preparation. I got the time down so it'd be perfect coming off, you know, resting and then eating, the perfect time. And so it was that Thursday morning, turkey's out, you know, just, you know, getting the room temperature. And then I'm watching the parade. My wife had the parade going on, and there was this like commercial, or I don't even know if it was a commercial. It was just a kind of a heartfelt, like, video that was produced about a family putting ornaments up, and one of them that was the most priceless ornament, it fell and it broke. And the mom beforehand said, you know, "Be careful, be careful." And she dropped it, broke it. And then she was like, "Oh no, not this, you know, this most special ornament." And then she gets distracted by the father. The father, you know, he is outside. So mom goes outside. So the daughter and her friend, all of a sudden, I'm not sure how they got to this land, but they got into this land where it was, where mistakes went. But those mistakes got turned into inventions. And so I'm watching this, and then all of a sudden, this ornament gets turned into the most beautiful ornament, right? And she comes back, and she gives it to her mom, and her mom starts crying. It's just a heartfelt moment, right? And it's amazing how God works through just most mysterious things. So I watch this commercial, then I get up and I head out to prepare the smoker. And so I get out there to prepare the smoker, and I'm about to, you know, I plug it in, and all of a sudden the transformer just fries. It's Thursday morning. I got my timing. There ain't no smoking going on, okay? I mean, there's no way to fix this thing. It's just a unique plug. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, the one thing my dad, you know, 30, make sure we have that organic turkey, right? One reason, make sure we have that. And all of a sudden, panic is knocking at the door. Like, Thanksgiving is ruined. I should have made better preparation, right? Like, I should have checked the smoker out, Josh. I should have made sure it was ready. I mean, I'm sure my wife told me several times, you know, "You haven't used that smoker in a while. You sure it works?" So there I am, and I'm just like, Holy Spirit. And I just feel like, get on YouTube, because YouTube can save the day, man. It can tell you what to do, right? And so I find out, like, how to you know, cook a turkey in 4 hours. Now, this thing's like 40 pounds, okay? I mean, it's giant. It's barely going to fit in our oven, right? And so, okay, Lord, you know, and so I see this. What you do is you split the turkey in half. Like, you get scissor outs, you cut the vertebrae out, you yank out and you pull out. You know, it's a mess, man. And then you snap the sternum and you press it down. But Thanksgiving was saved. So that turkey was the best turkey we've ever had. I'm sure it wasn't the healthiest one, because I pumped like 4 pounds of butter into the turkey with garlic. We looked at the oven. I mean, the thing was just bubbling under the skin, right? And man, did it taste good. But man, a story to tell. The commercial. Thank you, sweetie. So the commercial, I mean, here we go. I mean, the timing of this video I watch, right? How, you know, there's a place, and that place is called the heavens, that we can meet with God, that we can bring our problems, that we can bring those things that seem to not meet our expectation. And if we give them to Him, that God can make work out for good in our lives. Amen? And so today I want to begin our Christmas series with a message that right now I've landed on: the attitude that brings joy. The attitude that brings joy. Because I want this Christmas season to be the best Christmas yet for you. Okay? And there are some ingredients to help make that happen. And I think one of the most, you know, important ones, not the only one, but it's definitely in the top five ingredients, it's called joy. And attitude, and having the right attitude, will lead to joy and the joy of the Lord. And praise God, joy, God's joy, is not determined based on our circumstance. That there's a place to go above your circumstances and find joy. And so in this series, we are going to do our best to emphasize that we have a story to tell. You know, I love telling stories. I love living life and thinking, oh, this one's going to be a good story, right? And really, that is how God wants you to live. He wants you to face situations and trials and go, well, this is going to be a story. And I want the story not to boast about myself and how I saved Thanksgiving, but I want Jesus to get all the glory for the best turkey ever, okay? So, you know, after I pulled that turkey out, I hit my chest, I pointed to heaven. All the glory to God, like it was the ultimate touchdown right there. So, all right, let's try to get spiritual and go to the Bible. No, everything's spiritual. Turn to Acts chapter 16, not the traditional Christmas passage, but Acts is a book full of stories that are historic, stories that have happened, and stories about how God used people like you and me to tell the greatest story. And that's the story that Jesus came and He lived the life. He was born and He lived the life we were supposed to live, and He died the death that we all deserve to die. And then on the third day He rose again, proving that He was who He says He was. And all those who put their faith and trust in Him could have this same resurrection power live in them. And they could assure where they would go when they die, in a place that He's preparing for those who believe. Amen? And so this is a story of a couple of men who were living that life and telling that story, Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. One day, as we were going to the house of prayer, we encountered a young slave girl who had an evil spirit of divination, the spirit of Python. She had earned great profits for her owners by being a fortune teller. She kept following us, shouting, "These men are servants of the great high God, and they're telling us how to be saved." Day after day, she continued to do this until Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit indwelling in her, "I command you in the name of Jesus, the anointed one, to come out of her now." At the very moment, the spirit came out of her. When her owners realized that their potential of making profit had vanished, they forcefully seized Paul and Silas and dragged them off to a city square to face the authorities. When they appeared before the Roman soldiers and magistrates, the slave owners leveled accusations against them, saying, "These Jews are troublemakers. They're throwing your city into confusion. They're pushing their Jewish religion down our throats. It's wrong and unlawful for them to promote these Jewish ways, for we are Romans living in a Roman colony." A great crowd gathered, and all the people joined to come against them. The Roman officers ordered that Paul and Silas be stripped of their garments and beaten with rods on their bare backs. After they were severely beaten, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer commanded the guard to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound and chained. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praises to God, while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison, and all at once, every prison door flung open and chains of all the prisoners came loose. Startled, the jailer awoke and saw every cell door standing open. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself when Paul shouted in the darkness, "Stop! Don't hurt yourself. We're all still here." The jailer called for a light. When he saw that they were still in their cells, he rushed in and fell trembling at their feet. Then he led Paul and Silas outside and asked, "What must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your family." Then they prophesied the word of the Lord over him and all his family. Even though the hour was late, he washed their wounds. Then he and all his family were baptized. He took Paul and Silas into his home and set them at the table and fed them. The jailer and his family were filled with joy in their newfound faith in God. Hallelujah. That's a story to tell. And we're going to try to unpack that story to help us be able to be better storytellers. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is useful for teaching, correcting, and building up and strengthening. Jesus, you are that word. And we're asking, Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would prepare our hearts and our minds to receive. Open our eyes, open our ears to receive revelation today. Truth that can set us free. Freer than we were when we walked in. Holy Spirit, help me get out of the way as I continue to preach the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So attitude is super duper important, okay? Attitudes are established ways of responding to people and situations that we've learned based on the beliefs, values, and assumptions we hold. Attitudes manifest through your behavior. It is the attitude that determines how fast you achieve your goal and how well you acquire skills or knowledge. Your attitude, say my attitude, is something that other people can actually see. They can hear your attitude in your voice. They see it in the way you move and even feel it when they are with you. Your attitude expresses itself in everything you do all the time. Wherever you are, your attitude is a very powerful way to communicate. It is a mirror into your thoughts, feelings, and soul. See, I've already determined if phones go off in the service, my attitude is one of smiling and not one of irritation at all, okay? I'm just joking with you. Turn your phones off! Now, back to our message. A story to tell. Your attitude is telling a story. You don't even have to open up your mouth. Your attitude is already going before you and is telling a story. In fact, your attitude brings credibility to what you're saying, to your story and how it will be received. Your attitude. Jesus' attitude was what? That of humility. That he would humble himself. He would humble himself and become obedient unto death. That was his attitude. He'd already made that decision. And we get to choose our attitudes. Do you know that nobody has the power over your attitude? Nobody but you. It's super important. And your attitude and the right attitude can lead to joy. It can lead to joy. It can lead to happiness. See, your problem is not really your problem. Your problem is your attitude toward your problems. That's the real problem. And here's the good news, church. Jesus said, in this life, there will be trouble. There will be problems. But what did he say? Be of good cheer. Be joyful, because I have overcome the world. The Bible tells us God will not let us be tempted beyond what we can handle. It doesn't say God will not give us problems. He just said he will not let the problems that we face be stronger than our ability to have the right attitude toward those problems. Yes, those problems might kill you, but they cannot kill your good attitude. You remember the story of Stephen, another story to tell? In the book of Acts, there he was telling the story about Jesus boldly, and he's being stoned, but they couldn't steal his attitude. His attitude was one that was glowing with joy. And this, can you not see? Jesus, there was joy there. Because our attitude brings the joy. Our attitude brings the joy. How do we see problems? How do we interpret that? Not to say I rejoice in my problem. I don't rejoice in my problem. And let's go further here. Flip and bring some understanding, because I hear a lot of Christians thanking God for evil things that are happening in their lives. There is nothing evil about God. God may allow trials that have evil in them, but he is not the author of evil. And for you to give God thanks for evil is just off. It's just wrong. So what does the Bible say? Well, Philippians 4:4 says, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let your joy overflow. Let your gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Put into practice the example of all that you have heard from me or seen in my life, and that the God of peace will be with you in all things. Then, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Let joy be your continual feast. Let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer, and in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. All the other translations, or many of the other translations, says, in every circumstance, give thanks. It doesn't say, for every circumstance, give thanks. It says, in every circumstance, give thanks. It's in it. You're to think on what is good and lovely and pure. Guess what? You don't give thanks for evil. Especially don't attribute that evil to God. There's a devil who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but our God brings life and life more abundantly. Thank Him for what is good and what is lovely and what is pure. An attitude of gratitude. So back to the story in Acts 16, Paul and Silas are telling the story. They're preaching the gospel. And after a few days, Paul got annoyed. Paul, the apostle Paul, got annoyed. And out of that annoyance, he turned to this young girl who had a demon, a spirit actually called Python. And in the name of Jesus, cast that spirit out of her so she could no longer fortune tell for those who owned her. That led to them getting beaten and thrown into the deepest part of the prison to be put in shackles. Dang, for just telling the story. What was their response? Similar to the response Peter had when he was beaten and thrown into prison. He said, God, I thank you that we were found worthy of being beaten for you. Not for being beaten, but being found worthy for walking through this. That you found us worthy of this. And in it led to them being freed. Into them giving praise and worship. Paul and Silas, the inner part of the prison, beaten for telling the story. They didn't let it affect their attitudes toward God. But they sang praises. They worshiped God, worshiped Him loud, rejoicing. To where all the others in prison could hear. All the others. Because when others hear the gospel, they too get set free. When others experience your presence, when others experience your attitude, it can free them. The good attitude has an effect on the atmosphere of your life, your workplace, your home. And so does a bad one. You release bad spirits with bad attitudes. But you release God's spirit and good things with good attitudes. Attitude is everything. Attitude brings promotion. Your attitude can the wrong attitude can get you fired. A bad attitude kept the children of Israel from entering the promised land. Grumbling and complaining is a bad attitude. But rejoicing and singing songs from a grateful heart lead to a good attitude that leads to joy and peace. It's your decision that you get to make whether this Christmas will be the best Christmas. Because this Christmas being the best Christmas is not determined, is not dictated by the circumstances of this Christmas. But it's a decision that you make. For me and my house, right, Julie? We're going to have the greatest Christmas we've ever had. We've already determined it. No matter what happens, we're going to take what happens with the right attitude, and the right attitude that comes from the grace of God. Don't think for a moment that I am trying to willpower my attitude. I am spirit powering it. For I submit my heart to Him, my mind to Him. Paul says, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Why? Because that rejoicing is like the bucket that goes down into the well of gratitude. It's like the lever that pumps up the pressure of rivers of living water to burst out of you. It changes everything. We see it in the story. Don't you see it in the story? The story, here they are telling the story. They get beaten. They get thrown into prison. And I mean, what a story to tell. I mean, God thought it was such a good story that He canonized it forever in the Holy Scriptures. Will you have a story that will echo for eternity? See, the really, really good stories are the ones where lives that have overcome adversity. It's not the ones that everything's just been so easy. Those aren't the blockbuster hits, where everything was just sweet and tippy-toe through the tulips. Story? No. I mean, in fact, they have a formula, Hollywood, that goes in and out of too much, and you come out of tragedy, you get some reprieve, and it goes back in, and there's actually, you can put a map on it. It's not even that original, like of the epic stories of overcoming and more. You know, it's like, oh, you think, you know, in the middle of the movie, it's over, they've conquered, and then something else comes, right? Because that's what God created us to do, to be more than conquerors. Our attitude is telling a story, church. Our attitude helps our stories be told. Our attitude helps us get a story to be told. Amen? So, let's get to my message. Just 3 points. Comes from the word joy, an acronym that I heard Pastor Steve share a month and a half ago. So I give him credit one more time. Next time, it's like I've always said. Joy. Starts with the letter J. Guess what that stands for? Jesus. Joy starts with Jesus. It starts with Jesus. You want joy? You need Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, your joy is found in your circumstances. Based on if you've perceived your circumstances good outweighing the bad. But our joy is not determined based on our circumstances, because our joy is based on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. And we'll see how Jesus himself needed joy to overcome the trial in his life. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "We look away from the natural realm, and we focus our attention and expectation onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this, because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation, and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who opposed their own souls, so that you won't become worn down and cave under life's pressures." Joy! Joy is the pressure. Joy is the strength God wants to fill your soul up with. He wants you to have the fullness of joy. He wants you to be joyful. Why? Because a full soda can is hard to crush. Why? Because the pressure inside the soda can is greater than the pressure that you're applying on the outside. But if you take all the pressure that's inside the soda can and you empty it out, guess what? A little toddler can crush the can. But some of the strongest men in the world, if they don't know the technique, given a full soda can, cannot crush it. Cannot crush it. Why? Because of the pressure that's on the inside of the can. And that's the pressure God wants to put inside of us. His joy. Amen? And he's deposited a measure of himself in us, but he's given us the responsibility to turn the faucet. And that faucet gets turned toward what we choose with our attitudes. Our attitudes, we get to fix our eyes on Jesus. We get to fix our eyes on him. What did Jesus fix his eyes on? He fixed his eyes on the goal. He fixed his eyes on the other side of the cross. He fixed his eyes on us being saved. He fixed his eyes on hearing from the Father, "This is my Son who I'm well pleased, and I give the name above all names." This is the example Jesus gives us. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for that joy. Joy is coming in the morning time. Joy is coming for those who wait, who will wait for it, who will fix their eyes on Jesus. Psalm 40 says, "I waited, and I waited, and I waited some more, patiently knowing God would come through for me. Then at last, he bent down and listened to my cry. He stooped down to lift me out of the danger from the desolate pit I was in, out of the muddy mess that I had fallen into. Now he's lifted me up into a firm, secure place and steadied me while I walk along his ascending path. A new song for a new day rises up in me. Every time I think about how he breaks through for me, ecstatic praise pours out of my mouth until everyone hears how God has set me free. Many will see his miracles. They'll stand in awe of God and fall in love with him. Blessing after blessing comes to those who love and trust the Lord. Come on, what a promise! It's in Jesus, it's in his word. The word is Jesus. This is how we get joy. This is how we find joy. We got to get in the Word. We got to get our eyes fixed on him. You know, sometimes God allows us to fall into pits. Why? Because the only way out of the pit is to look up. He's just trying to get our attention to look up. And sometimes he's got to put you in a pit because you're not willing to look up. Your hope comes, your help comes from above. But when we get into a pit, the way you stay in a pit is keep looking down at the pit, talking about the pit, right. Talking about the mess of the pit, and what you feel about the pit, and blame who got you into the pit. Stop talking about the pit. Start talking about your Jesus.
That's good.
Fix your eyes on him.
Amen.
You want this Christmas to be the best Christmas yet?
Yes.
Then you better make sure Jesus is in your Christmas. Remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. So funny how we get so distracted on things that aren't that important. And we let those things determine whether our Christmas is good. I promise you this, if Jesus is in your Christmas, it will be more than good. It will be great. It will be great, for Jesus makes Christmas. Amen? So the second letter, come on, here we go, man. This should bring joy. We're on point number two, and all I got's three. All right, point number two. Joy should be being stirred up right now in you, okay? O. What's O stand for? Others. You want joy? First, it's fix your eyes on Jesus. Second, get your eyes off of you and put them on others. If you make it an effort to help somebody else have a great Christmas, pretty confident you'll have one. If you help somebody else have a great Christmas, I'm pretty confident you'll have one. Just like I've found, I can't not be encouraged when I encourage others. And I've said this now for a few weeks about it's better to give than to receive. I don't know about you, but I like receiving. I really do like receiving. But you know what's and why giving is better? Because giving is more than receiving. Giving is receiving and the ability to give. It's more than. See, it's why it's better. It's because you have to receive to be able to give. Amen? So you get that. You get to do that. But if you make it about me receiving, then you don't get to do this. But if you make it about giving, you get both. See how that works? See how amazing that is? You get both. Come on. This Christmas, how are you going to let God use you to make this the best Christmas yet for someone else? What are you going to do? Do you even care? Will you even ask? You want joy? You're going to need Jesus, and you're going to need to make it about others and not yourself. What does the Bible say about that? It says a whole lot about it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, be free from pride-filled opinions, Hallelujah. I mean, that will destroy your family time, your extended family time and friend time when you have your pride-filled opinions about politics or this or that, right? The quickest way to destroy your Christmas is your pride-filled opinions. Doesn't mean you don't have to have opinions. Just remove the pride out of them. Be teachable. I'll tell you, this is a huge, important ingredient to the right attitudes is to go, man, life is about learning. Life's about growing. So if I get thrown a curveball, if I get thrown a problem that isn't meeting my expectations, this wasn't what I was expecting, and I'm not taking a moment to go, okay, what, Lord, do you want me to learn here? What, Lord, do you want me to do here? To be humble in the situation and not be like, I deserve better than this. Come on, God. I mean, my power cord going out on Thanksgiving. Do you not know how much I do all the time for people? I pray all the time. I mean, I listen to people whine all the time. I mean, really, God, on Thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus, that you saved me from being that person. Because I could have been that person. We can all be that person. See, when you think more highly of yourself, as if I shouldn't have these problems. Really, why? Was Jesus above having problems? He had some pretty big problems. Wait, let me finish this verse. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but be authentic. But in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. You want the greatest Christmas yet? Make it about others. Don't make it about yourself. Make it about others, even your own family. Take your family and find an opportunity to make it about another family. This will assure joy in your Christmas when you make it about others. And I want this. You don't even know how bad I want you to have the greatest. I love Christmas. Christmas is my favorite. And I want all of us to have the greatest Christmas yet. But if you don't make a decision to go, how am I going to make Christmas about others? I can't assure you. In fact, I'm pretty confident it won't be the greatest yet. One letter left as I close. Joy. Jesus, others, why? We finally get to you. Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. God cares about your joy. He cares about Christmas being full of joy, full of laughter, full of peace, full of relationship. Hi, Joe and Shelly. How are you guys? So good to see you. That just brings joy to my heart, seeing you here today. Hallelujah. God cares about us. And he instructs us because he loves us and he wants us to have the blessed life. He wants us to have a joy-filled Christmas. Do you know that? He's not against your joy. God is not against your happiness. He's not. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to grow and to mature and to become more Christ-like, which means more joy, more happiness, more miracles, more people experiencing that joy. Amen? Church, we've got a story to tell. I mean, there's so many things that God has done and God is doing. Oh, our attitudes, though, certainly affect how that story will be heard. Back all the way to the attitude. Our attitudes are always telling a story. And the good news is this: nobody, absolutely nobody, not even your spouse, not even your kids, not your parents, not your coaches, not your teachers, not your neighbors, not your boss, whether he gives you a good Christmas bonus, which I pray, Lord, great Christmas bonuses all over. Christmas bonus for you, and Christmas bonus for you. Come on, grab them, Christmas bonus, right? Had an Oprah moment. Joy begins with our attitudes. Nobody has the power over my attitude or your attitude. So we're without excuse. So if you have a bad attitude, it's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault. I'm not even putting fault on yourself. Okay? I'm just saying take ownership and change it, because it can be changed. Amen? By fixing your eyes on Jesus, fixing your eyes on others, and then you will be taken care of. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have a Christmas season to celebrate. And right now, Jesus, I pray that we would put you first in this season. If you're here today, if you're watching online, you'd say, Jesus is not yet first in my life. Maybe he was in the past, but he's found his way to second or third or fourth. He's not number one. But today you'd say, I want to make Jesus number one. I want to put Jesus first. If that's you today, and you want Jesus to be first this Christmas season and the rest of your life, would you lift up your hand? I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Church, pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I put you first. I confess you are the reason for this Christmas season and for every season of life. I choose you as my Lord and my Savior, as the greatest gift I'll ever receive. Your love, your forgiveness, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.